Welcome to the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where you'll learn how to think strategically about your business and discover that while business is not easy, it doesn't need to be hard. With over 20 years' experience in turning stalling businesses into thriving enterprises, here is your host, Stefan Kazakis, the founder and CEO of Business Benchmark Group.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where we explore the journeys of accomplished business owners who are carving their own success and making a lasting impact on the business world. I'm your host, Stefan Kazakis, and today we're honored to have an extraordinary guest with us. Actually, we're thrilled to introduce you to Craig Shanahan, the Director of Mood Workshop. Hey, Craig, great to have you here today, mate.
Hi, Steph. Good to be here.
And let's just introduce a little bit more about why is it that you're here today? I mean, you know, as an award winner in year two of a program here at Business Benchmark Group, that is a reference point, which let me tell you, we could have given it to you easily because you're very good looking. However, that's not why we award our clients here at Business Benchmark Group. It is the absolute brilliance and the business that you have led that's got you here. But tell us how you have resonated with that award as it relates to you at a personal level and what it's meant for you in continuing to be the business that's predictable for success and bringing your team with it.
Well, it's meant a lot to me, Stefan. I'm fairly competitive, and also a little vain, so I don't mind an award. But in all seriousness, I really value the time that we spent together, and the work that we've done was a super important step for me in my business journey to develop a better grasp on the business. And, I've worked out about myself that I love a challenge. So that was like my big challenge. And I saw it as a big challenge and something that I really wanted to tackle and not muck around with it, you know. So to be able to gain some understanding and gain some mastery over that side of things, you know, given that I've got a pretty good handle on, you know, what it is that we do in terms of the product we produce, and that is, high quality architectural joinery in the hospitality space and the architect design residential space. I've got a great handle on that. I know how to build stuff. I know how to make things. But the business piece was my next challenge, you know, and I saw it as my next challenge. So I really didn't want to muck around.
Yeah, so we're speaking with Craig Shanahan, owner, director of Mood Workshop, and the brilliance as it relates to a business that's absolutely moving towards, you know, great Australian story status as we see it here at Business Benchmark Group. Hey, Craig, how long have you been part of the Business Benchmark Group community?
Coming on 3 years. Yeah, getting close to 3 years now.
And it's interesting, like you reference, you know, your trade and your expertise and skill set in truly mastering the trade that you're in and the delivery of the product and what have you. However, the business end of the business shovel needed a little bit more attention. And
absolutely.
And I guess in your journey over the last 3 years and unpacking, as we will throughout this this conversation, the critical points, those very critical but very important points of change, of pivot, of ultimately your identity almost moving to a higher level as the business owner of the business versus the best, I guess, you know, a joinery maker in the business or furniture maker in the business, as it may have been in the past. I mean, how did you transition, and how are you transitioning that identity, and how is that playing out to your current business mastery?
I suppose that piece about taking on a new challenge is a big part of the way that's played out. And also understanding that once I started to get a team around me and that kind of thing, that it was really important to sort of then to take that a step further and say, well, what kind of environment do I want to have for my team? What kind of place do I want to create for, you know, for the growth of the people in my team? Do I want to have to be recruiting all the time, or do I want to build a business and grow a business that can sustain real personal and professional growth for the other people that are involved in it, you know, being my staff and my team?
Yeah, and we constantly reference at Business Benchmark Group, you know, you're building a business that ultimately creates a waiting list of A-grade clients. And as a subsequent advantage of that, you're also building a business that's attracting a waiting list of A-grade team. Now, knowing what I know, you know my views on this, ultimately building the culture where standards are very clear and values are very defined and ultimately, you know, together everyone achieves more and everyone belongs to something going somewhere, and giving people that opportunity to be stepping up and leaning into that. How is that transition? Like, you know, if I go back to the question I asked, you know, the transition from being the best operator in your business to the best owner of a business that's now absolutely predictable for success, and success is measured by, you know, the numbers and the clients that you're serving and the team and that you're building and the churn that you're minimizing. How have you managed that transition and the growth as it relates to the headcount in the business, but also letting go, Craig, the letting go bit? How has that ultimately worked for you and continues to serve you?
Well, I mean, I've kind of realized that as much of a control freak as I may have been from time to time in my life and in my professional life with my profession, the bit I knew it wasn't going to serve me to grow to if I sort of continued to hold, you know, if I micromanaged or I held on too tightly to things, or if I didn't allow my team to take ownership of, you know, aspects of that production of fine furniture and joinery, you know. So the letting go piece has actually been, it's been a bit of a journey, but it's been it's certainly borne fruit. And for that reason, I've kind of found it relatively easy because, you know, I find myself more involved in, you know, a new profession, and that is being a business owner. And I really enjoy watching, you know, my team kind of get mastery over their professions, you know, whether it's making production on the floor or whether it's managing, coordinating, that kind of thing. So the transition, as much as every now and then I think, oh, I'd love a day on the tools, I'll get that less and less these days. My tools are different now, and I'll quite enjoy that.
Yeah, and I just as you were sharing that, thanks, mate. That's so again, it just, I'm sure it's going to resonate with so many people that are listening to this. But as you were just sharing that, in my mind, I was just thinking, and I've never been an apprentice, so I have no true concept of what I'm just about to say, other than the picture you were painting in my mind. You know, you go from a first year apprentice to a second year apprentice, and you typically got, you know, resources or people around you, like, you know, someone's looking over your shoulder and what have you. And in business, it's no different, right? Like you typically start being the best operator as we've been riffing in this conversation, and eventually you get to a place where you're at a higher level of management and you're at a higher level. What does that higher actually mean? Well, you're actually more invested in being that leader that's looking at, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? How do we ensure everything is in order? And I've got people now I trust, because that's the first thing I needed to do. I needed to trust them, right, mm-hmm. To do things that I no longer do. So that whole, you're coming to your qualified time as a tradesperson, and now you're a little more working on your own. It's no different to being that business owner in the Absolutely. Early stages of the transition, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I always sort of, I've got one apprentice in particular who I kind of talked to this about. And that is the idea of, like, it can feel like a bit of a slow burn early on. And then, like, when things start to come together, you sort of look around yourself and you go, actually, I'm pretty confident in what I'm doing now. This feels pretty good. So, and it's been similar for me with the business journey, you know. I think, going from, you know, essentially an apprentice to, you know, I'm not going to, certainly not a master, but, like, you know, but just becoming, getting a bit more mastery over it, very satisfying.
But if we actually, so, you know, we're speaking to Craig Shanahan, owner and director of Mood Workshop, an extraordinary business that supplies high quality. Well, you share what you do, mate, and then I'll fill the rest of it in. What do you do?
You know, we supply supply and install joinery for architect design buildings. You know, pretty much exclusively in the hospitality or residential space, mix of the two. And you know, as much as we're very quality focused, but our thing is, like, we're just not late. We don't deliver things late. We provide a great service. So, you know, that's why we continue to have repeat customers.
Yeah, so we're speaking to Craig, Craig Shanahan from Mood Workshop, who in recent months was awarded a significant award for excellence as it relates to his business and its journey to success. Now, we measure our Business Benchmark Group, our award winners, on three key factors: revenue year on year growth, gross profit year on year growth, and net operating profit year on year growth. They are the three key markers as to how we award clients here in trades and construction at Business Benchmark Group. And it's fair to say, Craig, as we were just sharing before we got into the room here, you know, your current trend, December versus December, 22 versus 23, revenue is up by almost 70% year on year. Gross profit volume is up by almost 100% year on year, and net operating profit is up year on year by 468%. And we have millions of dollars of work in progress ahead of us, which means our utilization will continue to be high, our efficiency and effectiveness continues to be strong, and you are motivated by getting it right the first time and never being late for your customer. I love that. And in business, you have a choice. And Craig, I'm going to ask you this, and you've been asked this before. If you had a choice to either be big or being rich, in other words, being predictable and leveraged and undoing the stress and anxiety of the past, which one would you choose, big or leveraged?
Yeah, oh, it's pretty clear the answer to that one. Yeah.
Which one is it, man?
Well, it's leveraged. I couldn't count the amount of times I've heard over the journey of people, you know, talking about how, oh, I had a team of 15 and, oh, it was nothing but headaches. Much better off going back down to three or whatever it is. I mean, that's just a case of, in my opinion, someone becoming big and not leveraged. Now, to me, I'm a lot more comfortable with a team of 15, to be honest, than three. Much more comfortable, but only because, you know, only if you do it the right way and you know, with your guidance, we've sort of been able to do that. So yeah, that's that leverage.
Just on that, if you were to sort of consider where you were 3 years ago and where you are now, and your typical day today, like your typical week, perhaps, right? But your typical week today, as a absolutely transitioning into ownership identity, owner of the business, to where you were 3 years ago, hardworking, there was nothing wrong with your energy and effort. It was just perhaps what you were choosing to focus on. But if you think about your typical week today, Craig, how would you describe it in the last 12 months, in the last 6 months?
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about urgent versus important tasks. 3 years ago, you know, it was all urgency. It was all urgent. It was all reactive. It was putting out fires constantly, dealing with operational things all the time, all day. And now very, very little of that, which again, that's that leverage you speak of, isn't it? Because the less involved you are in that really urgent stuff, and the more involved you are in that really important stuff, and the important stuff for me being, you know, growing the brand, selling more, generating more throughput, strategizing on how we're going to do that, on what our team, the shape of our team, where the constraints are, how to loosen the constraints, how to loosen bottlenecks, how to, all those kind of things, the greater leverage you have. So as much as it felt maybe 3 years ago, I was like, I didn't have time to do those things. It's when you make the time is when you get the real leverage starts happening.
And again, mate, you're just painting pictures in my mind as you speak, right? And I had a picture just then as you were just sharing that, which was brilliant, mate. And I'm so pleased. And as you know, and the community here, and you've got to meet many of them, and this is not just unique to you. It's absolutely unique to those that make that decision to be that type of owner, right? So when you look at things from the top of the lighthouse down, the light is beaming and shining to obstacles and challenges and opportunities. When you look at it from the grass level and the grass is 10 feet high, it's truly hand to mouth, and hopefully you're not going to get killed, right? So it is about that choice, isn't it? Changing the habits, trusting in yourself, trusting in your process, trusting in your people, which are all points of leverage as you go on the journey to true mastery in business. Now, if there was one thing that can blindside you right now, Craig, if there was one thing in your business, when you occasionally have a 2 a.m., oh, God, I woke up and I'm thinking about stuff, right, that is not of a good nature, because typically when you wake up at 2 a.m., it's not typically because you're excited about something, because those days are surely behind you. If you woke up at 2 a.m. in the next couple of nights, what would be the one thing that might be blindsiding you right now in your business?
Reflecting back on that transition, I'd hate to find myself getting complacent, Now that we, I have a lot more visibility, the upside is...
Visibility mean? For someone listening to this who has no idea, it's not... Yeah, visibility in Business Benchmark Group as a non-negotiable is what?
Well, visibility is, quote register, work in progress, sales forecast, and cash flow forecast. So, They're the three critical ones. Obviously, there's more visibility, there's deeper layers, but certainly understanding where we're at from a sales point of view and a cash point of view and all those kind of things enables you to feel comfortable enough to pull some other levers and get tighter on other things. But I'd hate to think that I was starting to get too comfortable. But anyway, look, I don't know that we're in danger of that. I think probably, if something was going to wake me up in the middle of the night, it might be a capacity issue because we're selling so much work.
Isn't that, that's a positive issue, right?
It is. It's a great problem to have, yeah.
So your work in progress, if we just sort of put a bit of a lighthouse moment on that one, right? Otherwise known as a spotlight, right? If we were to put a spotlight on that, your WIP and that response, utilization or capacity, how far out are you seeing your WIP right now? How far have you built the muscle to see it that assists? Holy moly, I've got waves coming that are that far away, and I'm going to do some batten the hatches today, right?
Yeah. It's 6 months out.
Wow.
And the beauty of it is, this is something over the last couple of years I've really discovered with you guys, and that is that the power of that sales forecast, when you can see a little gap here and there, and you understand what your requirement is every month to sell, and you can see a gap and you can see it far enough out, it's not that hard to plug. So Yeah, no, we're pretty far out, and we're doing, you know, the revenue increase is drastic, and with pretty much the same size team. So,
yeah, man, power to you. And again, you know, this will be a new phase of learning. It's just what it is, and this is not just for you, Craig, but it's for everyone that may be listening to this conversation and thinking, holy moly. How do you deal with looking at your WIP 26 weeks out? I can't even see 3 weeks out, and you're looking at it 26 weeks out. And we are talking about small business, right? Anything under $10 million is a small business. And strictly speaking, you know, to see your WIP 26 weeks out and therefore know on a weekly basis that it's week 8 and week 13 that needs some attention, and then pulling levers as if it was the game of Tetris, right? Or
absolutely.
Or, hang on, I've got a massive peak between week 7 and week 17, and therefore I'm not going to go into the hiring process at the 11th hour. I'm already in the hiring process because I saw it 5 weeks ago, right? So you're constantly doing the important work, going back to your reference, or the high-value work in the first hour, not the 11th hour. And that is a massive piece in the transition from becoming the best operator that is leveraging systems, team, sales to focus on important things and minimizing risk. The lighthouse, right? I can see out there, and I'm not going to let those waves hurt us at all. They might be a 2-footer, not a 10-footer, right? As an example. So, mate, well done on that continued, identity shift, that continued, this is where my focus is. And if you think about the time invested in coaching, supporting, guiding your current team, if you think about that slab of time in your working week, what does that look like today versus what it may have looked like 3 years ago, where you might have been grunting and who knows what to them?
Well, it's a lot easier to support them when you're not kind of in the maelstrom of the general operations. So it's a lot easier to support them, and it's a lot easier to lead with the surety and sort of calm approach. And I think that's important for your team to feel as well. You know, they certainly don't want to be around a stress head of a business owner, that's for sure.
Well, you become a better listener, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
And you know, you therefore become, because of the freedom of, again, just the space that you're creating within your week, and ultimately the clarity of your new role or your elevated role of being that leader, you actually pay more attention to how do we continue to elevate our standards and ensure our people are safe. Our people are listened to, and where appropriate, promotable, and where appropriate, absolutely, also communicated to. Perhaps it's better that you continue your career somewhere else, right? Because either or is a care factor. How has that played out for you?
I've got a great team. I'm really wrapped with my team. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. The team's not perfect. We're constantly working on things. I think, you know, to come back and reflect on your values, I think, on a regular basis, is a really important part of that. Part of that sort of leadership thing, and how we can all, you know, find ourselves pulling on the same string, so to speak, and not heading off in different directions and staying aligned.
Yeah, well done. Because again, as we discuss regularly, and I know it intimately, being, you know, an owner of businesses over 30 years, the team piece is the hardest piece.
Yeah.
And team can make you as they can break you, and therefore being consistent and invested in being consistently better in how you deal with team is vitally a vital ingredient to continued success.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, speaking to Craig Shanahan, owner and director of Mood Workshop. And so what three key areas of your business are you currently focused on? So there was the 2024 focus, the next 12 months focus in the business. I mean, I think you've just finished today planning intensive in the last couple of weeks, or you're getting to one
next week,
couple of weeks. What would you suggest are your three key outcomes to be achieved in the next 12 months as an owner of a business that's truly on the right path right now? Is there room for continued improvement in the business?
Unquestionably. We've still got some growth. I've got some growth plans. So I suppose in terms of those key areas, the team, obviously, as we've been talking about, is a huge piece. It's a large one to tackle. There's a lot of aspects to it. Creating more structure, creating more clarity for everyone's roles, continuing to kind of drill down on that and hone that, building even more specialization within the team so that people aren't wearing sort of too many hats, different hats. So the team piece is a huge one.
And do you mean, just to further expand on that, and we'll come back to number two and number three, but do you, when you're thinking about your team is also, they have an opportunity to continue to grow their careers. Now, we're a small business. We're not BHP or Apple where, we've got the C-suite playing out yet. But if you think about people growing their careers and being guided and supported for being a better version of themselves as it relates to their roles and responsibilities, mitigating risks for the business and always having a plan B, if this happens to this person, we've got plan B over here, which is not going to hurt the business, it's actually enhancing the business. So when you think about that sort of journey that you take, the pathway journey that you build into your business, no different to a dojo in martial arts. You go from white belt to yellow belt to blue belt to green belt, blah, 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 whatever it may be. If you think about that in your business and the element of team, sometimes we need to grow people from the bottom up. Then we also go to market and bring people in that lift the average, right? So Which part of team and that piece is on your radar for 2024?
Well, I think you can't really have that you can't really have that dojo structure without having some fairly clear guidelines as to how you go from white belt to yellow, or you'd know what the belts are, being a black belt yourself. Without having the clearly defined outcomes and KPIs, you sort of can't really have that. It's a really important piece to have. So developing those things has been an ongoing work for me. So I would say that's probably that sort of clarity is the most important piece about having that sort of.
I'm glad you touched on that, mate. And again, let's talk about team delegation, communication, alignment, scoreboards, which is the quartet, right? If I'm delegating, I've got to be clear. And if I'm delegating, I'm being clear, I've got to absolutely communicate what my vision of excellence, my standard is. And thereafter, there's a scoreboard that I'm transferring to someone and give them a chance to be not 100% perfect, but have a go at this and let's see how you measure against it. So when you talk about, when we think about delegation and your business, the Mood Workshop, how's that playing out for you, Craig?
Communicating the direction of the business and what we're looking to do and what kind of structure we're looking to have in place for the team. It's exciting for the team. So I love that side of it. It's actually people don't want to be part of an organization that's static. They want to be part of something that's evolving, that's growing, that's moving. They want to know how they can move with it as well. So, yeah, really important.
So team was number one. What would be number two and number three in terms of, okay, these are my three key outcomes that I absolutely am, you know, invested and committed and to a certain degree, whatever it takes, I'm going to move this needle forward.
Look, I'd love to buy a factory. I mean, that's a big, big goal of mine over the next 12 to 18 months. The next place we move to is going to be a larger space, but I don't want to move to another, you know, rental agreement. I'd like to move into a factory of our own. That'd be my, you know, my lofty goal if I was reaching for the stars, which I intend to do. but you know, I suppose there's that piece. There's from an operations point of view, I just want to get I want to come to really understand what our constraints are to throughput. So I really want to just open those constraints and create more efficiency in our process, in production and transfer of information.
Yeah, I love that. So again, that efficiency piece, that effectiveness piece, and again, it's a reference. It also rhymes with Kaizen, that continuous improvement, you know.
Yeah.
1% across a few things equals 10%. Yeah, 0.5% across a few things equals 10%, you know. So, again, that efficiency, that effectiveness, the throughput, which I love that language, is a vital focus point, not only for you, I'm guessing, but for the whole team. So do you have any specific goals in the next 12 months? So lovely. I mean, the factory, and we want a HQ that's going to lead us into the next 10 years, 20 years, and we want to be in a position, you know, how we do that is not the conversation, but we want to be in a position where we are the tenant and the landlord, right? So all very good. And that's as far as I'll go in that conversation. But as far as specific goals to reach in the next 12 months as a business, like team, is it a headcount growth or is it a promotable within business and what that means growth? If we think about utilization, which was the piece around the machine and making the machine be more predictable and more efficient, what does that mean? So do you have any specific goals to reach in the next 12 months? And you know, what does success look like for you? Like we've just shared December versus December. We're on a very, very positive trajectory with our revenue, with our gross margin. In other words, our efficiency is working good. It's probably not as good as it can be, but it's good. Our bottom line result is looking absolutely stunning. And we've got a growing team that's absolutely stepping up to be leading and owning their decisions. Like they're truly, you know, it's the markings of a high-performance team. So what would you lean into as specific goals that not only you know, but the team know as well?
Well, I mean, there's only really one goal and one goal only, Stefan, and that is to make money. So yeah, I'd love to see that net profit percentage increase. And that's going to be, you know, I'd love to see it increase by another 5 or 10%. That'd be great. To go from 15 to 20 would be terrific. You know, I guess that's going to be a function of increased throughput without purchasing more capacity, easing the bottlenecks that we've been talking about, understanding operational constraints.
You know, the byproduct of that. So if you just look at that as a very simple to reference goal. So we want the business to improve its net operating profit from 15% to 20%, which interestingly enough is 33% year on year, which is amazing. So if you think about that, that absolutely supports in the eye of lenders the ability for this business to be a tenant and the landlord to its next head office. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, we're not purchasing that property without that increase. So, yeah.
So now we're not just motivated just for money, but there's a bigger purpose. There's a greater purpose for which the housing of our team in a new premise that's our home for the next 10, 15 years and maybe beyond is not just about the money. And I love, you know, just tying things in that have greater purpose have such an impact, not only for you, the owner and leader who's always got their home on the line, but also it drives performance with the team who are also part of that result, no doubt. So much of the focus has been, you know, when you think about the journey thus far over the last 3 years, is, you know, get your habits, get your time management, the default diary, get that stuff really clear, show up, do the work, believe in the transition, ensure you're attracting better quality jobs at ideal margin, deliver on schedule and on quote. Ensure that there's free cash in the business, otherwise known as profit, and therefore you reinvest. And so you've been doing that really, really well. Have you ever thought about the time where you may be replacing yourself at some point, like your succession plan, or you know, now that the business is becoming predictable and the team is absolutely elevating, do you ever see, and you're still young, like, you know, you're not a... We're not at that traditional age where you need to be thinking about, you know, the days are over. But do you ever think about having this business run under management or being in a position where, and it's just a question, mate, right? I just want to know what exitability looks like for you. The ability to have it run under management or be in a position where someone is paying you a significant benchmark multiple to buy the business from you. Either or equals the ability to exit, right? Have you ever thought about that? And what does that look like for you in the years ahead?
Ultimately, it's one of my, you know, great motivations, you know? So, yeah, the answer is yes. I have thought about it and I think about it on a regular basis. What does it look like for me? It looks like something that won't happen unless we get really good documented, or we continue to build on, you know, documenting our systems, having really clear systems, having really real clarity for all of our team that we've talked about earlier. It won't happen without these things. You know, the business can't operate without me unless, you know, when that time comes for someone to step in, they know exactly what has to be done. When, you know, the operations manager role needs to be filled again. That, you know, there's a recruitment process in place to find the right person to put them into that position, and they know what to do when they step into the role, because it's clearly defined. The guidelines are there. The standard operating procedures are there. So without those things, it's not really possible. But certainly, we're getting closer and closer with each year.
And it's fair to say, Craig, it's more believable now than it was 150 weeks ago, 3 years ago.
Unquestionably. To be honest, it felt more like a pipe dream. A dream nonetheless, you know, and something that I did think about. But you know, before we started working together, it seemed way further away than it does now.
Yeah, and I guess knowing what we know, it takes about 7 years. It takes about 7 years to truly be in that very privileged position. So if you think about what this conversation sounds like, literally 4 years down the track, and you haven't lost the plot, by the way, right? you continue to do the work you've been doing and what you've shared today, which has been amazing. Think about where you are in 200 weeks' time, and this continues to be like front of mind, and you're committed to your work and your excellence and allowing people to grow and ensuring that the standards continue to be tight. Imagine what is the picture of your piece called Mood Workshop in 200 weeks from today. And I'll just let you think about that. I'm not going to get you to speak to that, right?
That's exciting.
Power, yeah. That is a power. Now, between you and I, 200 weeks from today, my God, if you think about where you were 200 weeks ago, how quick did that happen, right? So, you know, it's a drop in the ocean in terms of time. And, wow, what an awesome thing to be driving towards and the destiny that you're going to. It's just phenomenal. Indeed. Just finally, mate, we're going to do a couple of quick questions, which I just want you to fill the blank. But before we go there, What has been like? You're entering your well, you are in year three, in year three board. Like that's just launched as we speak. You know, you're in your third year board, which means you're entering your fourth year with us. First year, I think, was university, and the success has been phenomenal, right? As we've referenced. But what has been your favorite aspects of your program thus far? But most importantly, being a Business Benchmark Group community member.
A great community of other business owners, I think, is terrific. Coming to know my numbers has been game changing for me. Reduce stress, building habits and building them slowly, because they don't happen overnight. You guys have helped me reflect on my leadership style and help me strengthen the culture of my business. To think about where I was and where I am now, not sitting pretty, but gee, just so much more clarity, more sleep. That's one of my favorite aspects. I actually sleep a hell of a lot better.
Mate, I love that. And if your amazing partner was in the room, like your life partner, what would she say?
What would she say? Oh, she's an absolute gun business person. So I'm just like, I feel like I'll kind of finally I can kind of take part in the sort of conversations. a little bit. That she's, undertaking on a daily basis. Not sure what she'd say, but she's incredibly supportive given that, that she is such a weapon in this environment. So it's great. It's great to be able to connect with her over that stuff and feel a little bit closer to her level anyway.
Isn't that cool? I mean, what an awesome second, third order consequence of, 3 years ago, here we are. 4 years from today or 10 years from today, we're clearer than we've ever been in terms of where we're going. And as a byproduct of all that, you feel less inferior in the space of your beautiful partner. I mean, it's just the second and third order consequence that would be nowhere near the reason why you would have joined 3 years ago, right?
No, it's a welcome bonus.
What an awesome way to sort of bring this conversation to an end. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple of open-ended questions, and you're just going to fill the blank, right? That's all you need to do. Like, quick, I don't want you to overthink this. I just want you to go back, right? Sure. Business Benchmark Group helped me with?
Oh, gee, knowing my numbers, consistency, business owner time.
My belief system has improved by
my understanding of the game has improved. Yeah.
So when we reflect on our award winners, one similar trait is that you do the work, man. Can you walk us through what doing the work at Business Benchmark Group actually means?
Doing the work is being consistent. It's having a lot of time in your diary every week to get your quote register done. To get your work in progress register sorted out, to have your cash flow forecast filled out, up to date. I think as a business owner, when you're just involved in operations all the time and things are crazy, one of the unfortunate consequences of that is that you're pretty inconsistent, and you're getting pulled here, there, and everywhere. And one of the great side effects to being really consistent is leverage, better leverage. Yeah.
Mate, amazing. Have you found a special place for your award trophy?
Yeah, it's just up on the little shelf over there.
Mate, I love that. and finally, do you have any advice for future business owners in trades and construction joining the Business Benchmark Group programs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you know, I'm a strong advocate of coaching, but also of your coaching. I love seeing other business owners get involved. And what I generally say to those people that I've brought in to the group is to not be too hard on yourself, to understand that it's a process, and building habits don't happen overnight. But that it's really important to plug away and build those habits, build them gradually, not so gradually that they don't fucking ever happen. But you know, you have to be tenacious, but don't be too hard on yourself, because these things don't happen overnight. But as they start to materialize, and they will materialize, it's very powerful stuff.
Mate, well spoken. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you just shared, and this conversation, which was never going to be a dull one. I can assure the listeners. In saying that, we have Craig Shanahan from Mood Workshop as our guest here tonight and today, and amazing, Craig. I want to thank you and everything you stand for, mate. And you know, don't wish this was easier. Wish you were better, and just continue on that journey of curiosity and application, mate. Well done. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Stephen.
For more information about Business Benchmark Group's coaching, education, and training programs, visit businessbenchmarkgroup.com.au or call 03-9001-0878. If you liked this podcast, please rate it on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave feedback as well. Stephen shares so much value in all his podcasts, and we encourage you to go through the archives and listen to other episodes of the Business Benchmark Group podcast. Thank you for listening.